The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Now, Michael O'Leary, the Ryanair chief executive, could make €100 million over the next 5 years after shareholders narrowly agreed to a bonus scheme for him. Excuse me. Some of them complained that there was no compelling justification for such an incentive. Meanwhile, the company has told staff that up to 900 jobs are at risk. But is Michael O'Leary worth it? We're joined now by Norman Crowley, CEO of Crowley Carbon and Ryanair shareholder, and also by Professor Sheila Killian of the Kemi Business School at the University of Limerick. You're both very welcome to the programme. First to you, Norman. Is he worth it?
Well, 50.5% of the shareholders think he is. It's a pretty narrow margin, though. You know, I would have thought if you'd pulled that vote a couple of years ago, you'd have got a lot bigger majority.
It used to be 9 out of 10 cats. Now it's 5 and a bit cats, is it?
Yeah, so I think the vote was, we're not entirely sure whether he's worth it or not, but we can't find anybody else, so...
It's an enormous amount of money to stand to gain in 5 years' time on the basis of a performance, even if it is performance-based, a huge amount of money. He's already worth probably close to €1 billion. Yeah. And he said himself during the week, I don't need the money.
No. It is an extraordinary amount of money, but when you scratch the surface of it, like, he's being paid €1 million a year to run an airline with a market cap of €11 billion. So if you compare him to Willie Walsh, he's paid €8 million a year to run IAG. So, you know, you have to look at the market and see what somebody is worth. So if you divide, and then the 100 million, he only might get the 100 million, right? He's got to double the share price, and then he's got to buy the stock. He's buying the stock at a discount as well. So it's not like somebody is handing him a check every year. It's a target-based thing. He's got to double the share price. And there's a question mark about whether he could do that, I would think, as well.
Sheila Killian, this isn't, as Norman says, it's not money in the bank. He's not guaranteed anything. It looks like it's an all or nothing. He either doubles the profits to €2 billion or doubles the share price in 5 years' time, and he has to stick around. Do you think he's worth it?
You see, this is the problem with the question, is he worth it? It's the difficulty with high CEO pay. It concentrates all of the conversation about how well the company is managed and how the managers should be rewarded in one charismatic individual. So you have this kind of cult of the celebrity CEO, which is why, as Norman's quite right, if you look at the market, CEOs are very highly paid. And there is a lot of concern about the disparity between CEO pay and the pay of average workers within those companies, which has been widening. And there's also, I'd have a concern about, it's very good that it's an incentive scheme. So it incentivizes him to, in this case, meet the interest of the shareholders. But that's quite a narrow sort of target, isn't it?
Sheila, in this instance, it does appear to have been the case that he was signing up for another 5 years to run the company. He's been chief executive since the late 1990s. He's achieved an enormous amount. And it seems to have been linked in with the idea of convincing him to stay or keeping him around for 5 years. And obviously the board felt that
was a good thing.
That was important.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Like, the guy seems to have done a great job on running Ryanair, in loads of dimensions. Like, he's a very talented individual. And you can see why they want to keep him. In the world we're in now, like, even if you look at something like climate change, it's kind of disappointing that a new bonus scheme is drawn up when the only criteria is double profits in a company where they're, you know, pretty good on emissions. But why not link emissions in there? Why not do something a little more innovative?
Rather than just the share price. Norman,
exactly.
As a shareholder, how would you feel about that?
Yeah, look, I think if you buy Ryanair, you're not buying it because of climate change, you know. And I think the vast majority of shareholders in Ryanair, I wouldn't be one of them, reflect this, but don't care about climate change. So if you want to buy a climate change stock, you know, buy something else.
You're just talking from the perspective of a shareholder there, which is fair enough. So you're saying, like, as a shareholder, I just want to increase my money. But if you look at climate change...
Do you know... like, I spend 99% of my time and money on climate change.
Absolutely, so which is like, great.
Yeah, so but I hold Ryanair as an investment to get a return.
So you'd like to get some money. Just on the point, though, Norman, whether this is too much money, whether it's all gone out of control in relation to executive pay, what sort of limits do you think should be set on executive pay?
Look, you can't really set a limit on executive pay because we live in a global market, and any executive can travel the world and get whatever they're worth. And so, like, there are some crazy disparities in the world about how much, if you go into banking, like, how much these guys get paid and are they really worth that money? But, and I would be, it's a nuanced argument, right? Because on one hand, you pay, if you want the chief executive to run that scale of business and you want them to run it properly and get you a great result, you're going to pay what the market demands or else you're not going to get them, right? So that's one side of it. The other side is a moral argument about how much anybody should get paid or own. And there we have 3 or 4 or 5, whatever the latest statistic is, people in the world who earn or hold as much money as half of the world's entire population. And is that morally correct, right? But if we're on a business show, then you have to split those out and say, okay, you know, there is a company, it has a revenue, we need somebody to run it, therefore how much should we pay them? And I had a quick look this morning, and our health service spends $18 billion a year, right? And the chief executive gets paid $300,000 a year, okay? Now, if I was the board of a company, and I was a shareholder, and we sat around and we said, this thing has $18 billion in revenue, how much should we pay the chief executive? And somebody turned around and they said, well, I have a guy here who's willing to do it for $300,000, right? Any responsible board would look at that and go, who's this guy who's willing to run it?
Well,
for
just
this?
On that point, Sheila, there is a difference between the private and public sector about these things. Sometimes people will take the view that an executive is worth tens of millions of euro because they deliver for shareholders, but we certainly have a different view when there's public money involved.
Yeah, because it's our money. So we don't, for example, think it's a good idea to pay our Taoiseach something that could come into, you know, tens or hundreds of millions over the coming years. But I think, like, Norman's right, you've got a moral argument and a business argument, but I don't see them as binary and conflicting with each other. Like, if you look at something like the UN Sustainable Development Goals, there is an increasing focus on making money, and like, gee, Norman's a fine example, making money while helping on climate change and being innovative. And there's no reason why that innovation can't also extend to the incentive scheme for a CEO. So, for instance, there's an opportunity here for a CEO not to put a ceiling on the amount of money that she or he can earn personally, but to link it to not going over a certain multiple of average wage in the company. I mean, imagine if you had a company with a CEO that you knew to be innovative and smart and who had said, look, I'm going to make sure that I don't earn more than 100 times the average wage in my company. Then there's no limit to what she or he can earn, but you're going to bring everyone with you. Now, that's a company you'd want to work for.
What about that point, Norman? I mean, if you take, for example, if somebody was earning in a low-paid job, close to minimum wage, 10 euro an hour, 40 hours a week, it works out at about 21,000 a year. 100 times 21,000 is 2.1 million.
Yeah.
You know, there's people earning multiples of that.
Yeah, like if you look at it just in the abstract and you say, yeah, that would seem like a fair thing to argue. But then if you're on the board or you're a big shareholder in a bank or in a large company, you want the best person that you can get your hands on. And CEOs do have a big impact, right? Like, you know, when you see a big company not performing well and then you meet the chief executive, there is a direct correlation. They're normally asleep at the wheel, right? So they have a massive impact on running it. And then if you're a shareholder, you have a responsibility to get a good return. You say, right, let's pay peanuts, get monkeys, let's get in a gorilla here to do this job. Okay. But I completely agree with you on linking it to climate change.
Okay. Yep. I'm afraid we're out of time and I'm conscious of the time on it. It's no doubt a subject we'll be coming back to again and again and again, perhaps. Norman Crowley and Sheila Killian, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.